It feels so good to hear this. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Big Joe Dubin in for Caroline and Willie. Willie will be along in a few minutes. It's been so long since I've gotten to talk to my best friend, Tim Hasselbeck, Innsworth High School football coach, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us now. Hello, Tim. What's up?
What's up, fellas? Man, it's good to be on with you guys again. Feels like, I don't know, long enough ago that, like, I had hair, maybe. It's been that long.
Yeah, I think you did.
I think last time, like, we had a regular spot, I think I had a comb over. So, like, it's good to be back on with you guys.
You might have. This is just such a pleasure.
So did you call Chase and tell him you took the job as head coach at Innsworth when it happened?
Yeah, I knew like a week before.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Listen. Not only that, when Pete Thamel reported that Matthew was going to be the offensive coordinator, like Chase had been sitting on that for months.
I mean, I sat in Tim's kitchen with Matthew, and it was a pretty intense interview. Matthew just thought he could walk in and get it, and I said, no, Tim, we got to vet this, man.
Hey, Chase is being humble right now. He's the one that sealed the deal. Okay? I thought it was close, you know. We shared a room as kids growing up. Like, I thought I had it, but it was like, listen, you can be friends with guys like Chase if you come down here. He's like, I'm in.
He's in.
Hey, quick question. I do. It's more of a serious question, Tim.
Did you think I was not serious?
Okay, he was serious. Oh, but on another note, let's say that. I was thinking about this the other day. Well, I've been thinking about it for a while, and I meant to ask you the last time we had you on. You know, having your brother, you know, y'all two growing up in football with your dad being a coach or whatnot, and a player. Growing up in football and you two always, you know, battling one another and always being there for one another. Then both of y'all playing the NFL. And then you end up here. Well, he ends up here first because he plays with the Titans. Then you end up here with your family. How is it one to
– We just adopted Tim.
Exactly. How is it one to now – be coaching with your brother, but then to have your brother here in the same state?
I would just say this, like, it, and you know, it's interesting how, like, football experience is just, like, we grew up, my dad gets drafted by the Patriots, so, like, we grew up and, like, football was the family business, and so, like, that's why we probably wanted to be football players. And then, you know, because we didn't live around family, you know, we were the only ones in Massachusetts, you know, and so, like, that's just, we were close because you kind of had to be. And so every step of the way for me, so whether when Matthew and I were teammates in high school, whether when we were teammates in college, like, you know, I have never had a jealous bone in my body for him and his success. And I think the same thing goes, you know, for him in terms of, you know, anything that I've done in football. And I just remember when I was playing, like, the first person I would call after a game was him, and kind of a similar thing for him when he was playing, call me and say, like, hey, what did you think? And so I think that anytime, and you guys know this, like, at any level, when you're part of a team, it's great to be around guys that you love being around and enjoy spending time with and enjoy working with, because, like, you are creating great memories for the coaches, for the players, for the families that are involved in it. And so it's that, for me, that makes, you know, the experience special. And, listen, wins and losses will come, and all of that stuff will happen. But, you know, it is the relationships and the experience. And, like, I guarantee you, every single one of you guys can remember a team that you were on and something, just a great memory that happened at any level. Could have been Little League Baseball, you know, when, you know, a buddy hit a home run for the first time. Like, there's always those markers on your life, and I'm excited to be a part of those and excited to be a part of those, you know, with my own brother again and doing something different.
It's going to be awesome for sure. Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. And so, Tim, with last week, the news that Calvin Ridley's coming to the Titans, going to obviously have DeAndre Hopkins on the other side. Treylon Burks, you know, who knows what that's going to look like. But the weapons that Will Levis now has. I think it's going to be really beneficial. So how does that take some pressure off of him going into year two, his first full year as a starter, knowing that he's going to have a lot of options in this offense?
Yeah, I think the big thing is anytime we're talking about quarterback evaluation, how someone will play, is always remembering that it is still a dependent position. You know, no matter how good you are, like the guys around you make a big difference. Now, some players are just, you know, can overcome it better than others, but those cases are rare. You know, most everybody that plays quarterback in the National Football League is still super dependent on the play caller, the offensive line, the talent at receiver. And I would just say that, you know, it feels as though in recent memory, you know, especially like the pass catchers, that the Titans are in a better spot than they've been in the past. And then, you know, you would think that the offensive line is going to continue to improve as they, you know, invest in young players at that, you know, at those positions that, you know, presumably will get better. I do think that there should be some encouragement about how that group will be coached, the offensive system and how that can oftentimes protect the quarterback. And so, yeah, I think that he should be excited about the opportunity because if it doesn't work, who knows? I mean, look at what's happened to Justin Fields. Who knows when you'll get another opportunity?
Yeah, you're right about that, Tim. We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head football coach at the Denver Tigers. Now, Tim, we've been getting questions, whether it be on this show or shows within this station, about the Titans and them filling the holes that they have offensively and defensively. And they have too many holes to all fill at one point or in one off season. But, you know, I think some fans feel that they should be able to fill those holes in the off season because they always point to, every time I hear it, well, Houston did it. Well, Houston was a little bit different. It didn't take them a year. They got a home run on their quarterback. And if you get a home run on your quarterback, then that sort of eases the pain everywhere else because you feel if I got my franchise quarterback, he's going to win us some games that, frankly, if we didn't have him, we were not going to win. It doesn't make us a overall better team. It makes us better at that position. And you need to be good at that position. But I think some Titans fans feel that the Titans should fill all of their holes this season. Well, you may be able to do it, but it's not with starting caliber players.
Yeah, I think that what happens is anybody that feels like, hey, we're going to replace them all, like you have to understand how rare it is. And so everyone can be like, hey, like Houston Texans. But like, look at a bunch of other teams have been trying to get it right for a while. Like, hasn't Atlanta tried to get it better? They'll fill their holes. Hasn't New Orleans tried to fill the holes that they've had or – you know, the Chargers for that matter. And like, look, you got to beat the market, like plain and simple. Like really, did everyone think Nico Collins was going to turn out the way that he's turned out or that Tank Dell drafted in the third round a year ago was going to be, you know, as good as he, you know, has been? I think you could look at a team like the Detroit Lions and people be like, hey, look at the resurgence. Well, look, they kind of lucked in, not kind of, they lucked into this. They acquired Jared Goff to absorb a contract, you know, like they, and then he turned out to be still a young ascending player. And then at receiver, look, they kind of got it right a little bit with Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round. And so like, then you look up and you go, wait a minute, like how'd they turn the corner? Like, they beat the market in some of those areas, but that even didn't happen overnight. Like, Goff's first year wasn't a smooth ride. The defense 2 years ago was a disaster. So, I think anybody that thinks there's a quick fix in the NFL and you can point to just one team where that's the case, like, I just don't think it's a realistic expectation.
Yeah, me either, because I look right up the street in Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, you know, they were great last year. But, you know, it took them years, even with their quarterback, it took them another year. Once they started, you know, filling holes year after year, then they finally filled what they felt was enough of the holes. The quarterback really got on point, and then they started winning. So I think we look at teams And it's just like the society we're in right now. Everybody sees the end part. They don't see the years that you put in to get to the end part. And sometimes Titan fans look at teams like Cincinnati, teams like Houston, other teams that may have had good records this year after being bad in previous seasons. They look at it as, well, they did it in one season. Why can't the Titans do it in one season? No, they didn't do it in one season. It was multiple right. seasons before they got to a point where they were good enough to start winning.
You listen, exactly right. Like, I think sometimes we are, like, how we remember things in the history of how we remember things, like, isn't exactly accurate, right? Like, I feel like I hear people talk about it all the time, like, oh, yeah, you know, when, like, Ryan Tannehill, you know, got to Tennessee, it's like, guys, remember when Ryan Tannehill came to Tennessee, he was backing up Marcus mm-hmm. Mariota. Like, he was basically saying, like, yeah, I don't think I'm still a backup, but I'm here as the backup. And I'm just waiting for my opportunity, and when I get it, I'm going to take advantage of it. Like, that's how that happened. It wasn't, hey, we're bringing Ryan Tannehill here because we know he's going to be our starting quarterback and give us a chance. Like, and so, you know, I do think sometimes, I mean, I actually remember that conversation going on, you know, with my brother in Seattle. Like, when my brother came to Tennessee, he was like, you know, and then they started talking about the history, you know, of the Seattle Seahawks and quarterbacks, and it was like, look, it didn't go Matt Hasselbeck, Russell Wilson. Like, remember, there was, like, you know, Tavares Jackson and Charlie Whitehurst in there as well. Like, I think sometimes we just conveniently, you know, other teams that we, you know, aren't fans, maybe aren't following as closely, you know, omit certain eras of their history when it's not really kind of how it went.
How dare you, Tim, this is Big Joe, how dare you leave out Dave Craig? How dare you?
Dave Craig.
Listen, that's a great name for the NFL crossover grid. I appreciate you bringing that one up.
All 5'9" of him in a jersey that was 8 times too big for him, but he was a heck of a quarterback. Look, he's a guy that made the most of his opportunity, right?
Oh, no question about it.
Fantastic. Also, another thing. Are you, when you do two-a-days at Innsworth, are you going to do what Bear Bryant did at Texas A&M, no water?
I think things have changed. Things have changed in regard to two-a-days, hitting, and those types of things. We're going to, you know, like that saying of, like, smarter, not harder.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're... Yeah, a little bit like D. Mace when he cuts his lawn. You know what I mean? Like, we're smarter, not harder. Right?
You know, that was the worst thing when I was in college because I long snapper, you'd have the two-a-days, and then in the middle of two-a-days, you'd have special teams practice. And you were like, why did I ever want to become a long snapper? This is the worst. Three-a-days were awful.
Long snapper, is that, if you want to come work with the long snappers, Joe, like, I, you know, that's not my area of expertise. So, like, you want to come down and work with a long snapper, you got an open invite.
I'll be there in about 30 minutes. I will see you there. Real quick, we'll talk football. But
about practice when you come. Like, that's the only situation.
Look, as long as you feed me, I don't care what we do. As long as I get to eat. Hey, we had a question earlier. This is non-football, but who's your all-time favorite college basketball player when you were growing up, Tim?
Ooh, all-time favorite college basketball player. You're putting me on the spot there on that one. Take it back. This is going to be terrible. I'm going to make a lot of enemies saying this. It's going to be so bad. I liked Christian Laettner.
Oh.
Yeah, you made a bunch of enemies out there. Everybody that didn't attend, the people that attended Duke, they love you. But the people that didn't attend Duke, they hate
I mean,
you.
Like, how – but, like, isn't that crazy? Like, how is it that I liked Christian Laettner? Like, I mean, but I did – I don't know what it was. Like, it was, like, Duke was good. I enjoyed watching them play. Like, so I think I would have to say Christian Laettner.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some people that have weighed in as well, okay. Christian Laettner, because, I mean, you go back and not – you know, when you're 25 and 30, it means different to you. But when you're growing up and you see these guys – it means it's a whole new world. Like, these guys are – you go to the gym and you think you're Christian Laettner, and, you know, we all did at some point. So that's a good answer, Tim. Don't be ashamed of your answers, buddy.
Well, listen, I like – I guess if you had asked me who I think the best basketball player of all time is, and I've seen this like LeBron and Jordan debate, which I think is silly because clearly it's Larry Bird. And so, like, I think with that, like, I think it just is like a natural track. Maybe he reminded me of Larry Bird.
Yeah, exactly. Real quick, I'm going to go to the break, but there was a thread on Facebook about favorite tight ends in the 70s and 80s. And my favorite tight end of all time was Russ Francis. Did your dad play with him?
Oh, my dad was teammates with Russ Francis, and I've been told. Now, I think this is maybe one of those like history lessons, but I've been told that Russ Francis could throw a football 100 yards.
Ooh,
I believe it.
I think was that was just like one of those folk tales, or was it true?
Yeah, no, but I've heard he was like an Olympic javelin thrower. He's an incredible, incredible athlete, and. Yeah, I was told in by reliable sources with my same last name.
Great, man.
Football 100 yards.
Nice.
Oh, that is fantastic. Tim, it is so good to talk to you on the radio. I know we have our weekly phone call, but it's good to chat, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Have a good one.
Tim Hasselbeck, Innsworth High School football coach, and ESPN NFL analyst, react to some of that. Coming up next, 105, 106.3 The Game.